Welcome to Foundry United Methodist Church. My name is Ben Roberts. I am the Director of Social Justice Ministries here, and I will be with you along with Reverend Al Hammer today in worship. We are so grateful to have you with us on this fourth day of Christmas together. I do want to extend a welcome on behalf of all of the clergy and our senior pastor, Reverend Ginger Gaines Sorelli. We want to say welcome to you and know that no matter where you are from, no matter where you will be going, no matter what you believe or doubt, no matter what you feel or don't feel in this space, and no matter who you love, you are welcome to be met by our God who has called you by name and seeks an ever deeper relationship with you. So we say thank you for joining us. We give thanks, and we will begin our worship together, led by our trio, as they will lead us in Infant So Gentle, Carol, Wendy, and Joan.
Infant so gentle, so mild and so sweet, love from thy tiny eyes all sinners tendest, with tenderest words to
so much. Friends, if you are looking at your bulletin, you will notice we have a slightly different order of worship today. We are going to do quite a bit of singing together, and I hope you brought your voice. I did not, so you're going to have to carry us. We're going to do a little meditation, try and draw out a bit of the history of the different carols that we sing together and a little of the theology as well. And if you'll notice, our first carol that we will sing together, Joy to the World. And remembering the very, very famous opening line of Joy to the World, Jeremiah was a bullfrog. A clear reference to the prophet Jeremiah. No, that's the wrong song. I'm sorry. That's different. Please excuse me. Different Joy to the World. Our Joy to the World was written by Isaac Watts in 1719. Watts was from Southampton, England, and is credited with writing over 800 hymns. And Joy to the World may be one of the more famous and especially one of the more popular at Christmas time. Within the hymn, one can find scripture references from nearly 30 different places in the Bible. One of the more prominent references looks at Psalm 98. The Psalms, of course, were the original hymnal for the worshiping community, and Psalm 98, viewed with the Christian lens, celebrates the coming of Christ in Jesus, God in flesh. The celebration of the Lord come down is shown to be something not just for the people of God, but for all the earth. Psalm 98 says, "Make a joyful noise, all the earth, for God's marvelous works." Indeed, when we celebrate Christ's arrival, we join with heaven and nature, fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains, even the fishes in the deep blue sea. We celebrate because the coming Christ makes reconciliation, relationship, and peace possible now. So let us at this time stand as we are able, either on your feet or in your heart, as we sing together number 246 in the red hymnal, Joy to the World.
Gather to sing praises and to celebrate the miracle of the birth of Jesus Christ. To thee all honor and glory be given. Please be seated. The tunes and the words of the Christmas carols we sing today play a much more important role in our Christian journey than simply being auditory overload from department stores, elevators, restaurants, and yes, even the waves that come from heaven through that Sirius XM radio on your commute to work. These lyrics and tunes provide a rhythmic story that connects us to the ancient past but are relevant and meaningful even today. Often these songs provoke some of our strongest memories and remind us we have been preparing for the coming of the Christ child. Of what an awesome and wonderful gift God has given us. He is born, which you will find on page 228 in the red hymnal, claims to be, in this version, a traditional French carol. I invite you to open it now to this hymn, and as we contemplate together the sights and origins and meanings of it for us today. Some records show that this carol was first published in 1862 by R. Grigion, organist of one of the great French cathedrals just outside of Strasbourg in Saint-Dié. The text was first published in 1875 by Dom G. Loret. However, some records indicate that this tune dates back to the 13th century Poland, where boys often sang it as they made their way towards church for midnight mass. In their processional to the church, they would sing this song as they reenacted the arrival of the Magi. The lyrics and the tune portray to us a joyful, celebratory spirit that should be announced and shared throughout the world. And what better way to shout this and out than with the oboe and the bagpipes? The last phrase of the refrain, "Sing we all of the Savior mild," doesn't take into account that some of us are rhythmically and tone challenged. No, it says all. In fact, it demands that we all join in this acknowledgement of God who comes to in the form of a child to save us. Just as we symbolize today with two candles on the altar, one symbolizing the Christ child who came as a human, and the one who came as the divine. This carol observes both the humility of God's birth as a child in a stable, while at the same time, it calls on the kings of the Orient to attend to the child. This is particularly emphasized in another verse often found in other translations of this same song. "In a stable lodged he, straw is all he has for a cradle. In a stable lodged he, oh, how great humility." While we think we have to wait a long time through 4 weeks of anticipation as we observe Advent, the text of the carol in the first verse details the birth of Jesus as foretold by the prophets and the wait of over 4,000 years for this event. "He is born," which is written here in three stanzas in a refrain, acknowledges a God who sent a child to be among us, that is, mild, lovely, and pure. All traits signifying just a few of the characteristics considered holy and divine. But most important of all, a Savior who came as a child for all the world, and all means all. As it says in this cherished Christmas carol, "Gracious gift to humankind, Jesus Lord of all the world." So, would you stand on your feet or in your hearts as we sing this hymn and ask God to grant us thy heavenly peace.
Be seated. At this time, I want to invite up all our children. We're going to have our children's time together. So please come on up. You can bring an adult if you want. You don't have to. You don't have to. Perfect. Somebody asked me if there was only one kid, would I still do the sermon? I said, yeah. Absolutely. This is way better. Perfect. Good morning, friends. How are we doing? Good? Awesome. Do you know it's still Christmas, right? Okay. Christmas is a whole little season. We get multiple days. So if your parents told you it was only one day, they were not being fully transparent. I know. Normally it's just the 25th, but we in the church get to celebrate it multiple days. And today's actually the fourth day of Christmas. So remember that. Tell your parents. They need to know too. Did anybody get a cool gift for Christmas? What'd you got? I got a bunch. I can't remember all of them. That's okay. Anybody have a favorite? Josie? What about you, Blue? Two stockings. Amazing. That is wonderful. Well, we're also celebrating today some of the other gifts that we have been given. And today especially we are singing together and celebrating the gift of music and our hymns with one another. And it's important for us to celebrate with song because we as a church sing our theology. We sing what we believe. And oftentimes it's easier to remember a song than a sermon or a children's sermon. And so as we continue to grow together and we continue to sing together, you'll get to learn those songs and the theology at the same time. And that's true for adults too. We sing our theology, continue to learn it. So as we continue this service together, we will celebrate the gift of music and the hymns that we have with one another. And for you guys, you are welcome, very welcome, to stay and sing with us. You are also welcome to go off to Sunday school after we pray together, okay? All right, so let's pray. Holy God, we give thanks for the gift of this time and this space together. We give thanks for the gift of music and the hymns that we sing to celebrate your love for us and for all the world. Help us to continue to grow in strength and in love for you and for our neighbor. Be with us now and in all the days to come. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's children said, amen. Off to Sunday school, and let's sing together the first verse of Angels We Have Heard on High. Again, friends, welcome to Foundry United Methodist Church. We are so happy to have you here and grateful that you chose to worship with us this day. If you are a first-time guest or visitor and you feel comfortable raising your hands, the ushers are in the aisle with a booklet called All Things Foundry that talks more about the mission and ministry here at the church. Also, if you're a first-time guest or visitor, feel free to stop by the office on your way out, and they will help you validate your parking in the P Street Colonial Parking Garage. We also want to know who is here for everybody. At the end of the pew is a black welcome folder. We ask that you fill that out. Check the boxes that might be appropriate to you. And if you are interested in becoming a member, please let us know and fill out the information there so that we can be back in contact with you. Everyone is invited up to the fellowship hall following this worship service for a coffee hour and some small snacks. And time and fellowship together upstairs, out this door and up the stairs. If you need an elevator, it's further down on the right by the main office. We also want to say a word of welcome to those of who are joining us via live stream. We know at least Pastor Dawn is there, so hey, Pastor Dawn, and that's what you get. We have a couple of announcements for us to go through. There are extras in the bulletin, so please look at the focus in the back of the bulletin, but I want to lift up a couple. January the 8th, it is a Thursday. We will be meeting along with other congregations that belong to the Washington Interfaith Network. We're going to meet with Mariel Bowser. She will be becoming the mayor. This will be her first week in office, and we have a meeting with her up at St. Augustine Catholic Church. It is on V Street and 14th near the U Street Metro Station. We're going to meet with her to continue to talk about homelessness, housing, and jobs, and it is imperative that we have people there. We don't throw money at political campaigns. We show up with people. That is our power, and that is how we get heard. Foundry has committed to have 50 folks at the meeting, and so if you are able to go, we need to know because we want to be able to look for you once you get there. I see Sam. Sam, if you don't mind waving, if you know that you can make it on January the 8th, if you want to let us know before you leave today, Sam will be around, I will be around, and there's also an email listed in the bulletin where you can let us know as well. End of year contributions, if you want to make one toward the 2014 year, those need to be in by December 31st. If you want to drop them off, the office will be closing at 5 p.m. on that day. Otherwise, it just needs to be postmarked on the 31st or done online by midnight. Coming up in January, we want to lift up a couple of special Sundays. January the 11th, Reverend James Harnish will be preaching. You are invited to come out and hear him. He is the pastor, one of the senior pastors at a Methodist church in Tampa. And then on MLK Sunday, Bishop Melvin Talbert will be here with us to share a word and worship with us. We also want to continue to be in prayer for our community, and I want to lift up a couple of concerns for you now. PJ Taylor is still recovering from his accident. He is at home now, but is getting stronger each day, so we will continue to lift up PJ. And then Jahan Chase, the wife of Seth Chase, is also recovering from an illness, and we will hold them in prayer as well. We know that there are many concerns among the community, spoken or unspoken, and we want to be able to hold each other in prayer. So if you would join me now as we pray together. Holy God, we give thanks for this community where all are welcome. We give thanks where we can be in a place that worships and prays together. We pray for those who are continuing to recover from illness. We give thanks for those and pray your strength rest with those as they recover from illness, be it physical or mental. We pray for those who continue to struggle with relationships, and we pray for those who continue to work and look for work. May your calming presence be among them and your peace lead away into the future for them. Be with us now as we continue in praise together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading today is from Isaiah, chapter 61, verse 10 through 62, and chapter 61, verses 10 through chapter 62, verse 3. And our gospel is from Luke, chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. Let us listen for the word of God. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exalt in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. For Zion's sake I shall not keep silent. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her vindication shines out like the dawn, and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. Please stand as you are able for the singing of our Christmas response, and remain standing for the reading of the gospel. Gospel of Luke. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord." And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people, Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer, night and day. At the moment she came and began to praise God, and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Hear what the Spirit is saying.
Please be seated. I invite you to turn in your red hymnal to page 230, O Little Town of Bethlehem. This is one of the most familiar carols of our Christian faith and one of particular historical significance for Founder Church with the visit of Roosevelt and Churchill in 1941. The author of O Little Town of Bethlehem was Phillips Brooks, who was born in Boston in 1835. His family was immersed in a long line of Puritan ancestors, and many whom had been congregational clergymen. His parents brought him and his siblings up in the strict ways of the evangelical wing of the Episcopal Church. He had the typical Boston education, the Latin school, and then Harvard. He decided to enter the ministry after unsuccessfully attempting to teach at the Latin school, and actually studied at Alexandria Seminary right near here. In 1859, he became rector of a small church in Philadelphia. It was here his sermons attracted a great deal of attention, and in 1861, he was called to be the rector of the Church of the Holy Trinity in Philadelphia. He remained in that position until 1869, when he accepted the rectorship of Trinity Church in Boston. In 1891, he was elected bishop of the Episcopal Church in Massachusetts, and after some controversy caused by his broad views in the church on the church issues of the time, his election was confirmed and he was consecrated. However, the strain of the great work he had been doing had undermined even his giant strength, and after a short sickness, he passed away in January of 1893 at the age of only 58. And he only served as a bishop for less than 2 years. While Phillips Brooks was the rector of the Church of the Holy Trinity in Philadelphia, he became well known for his oratory skills and his outspoken opinions of the day. As the strife of the Civil War and the plight of the congregation grew heavy in his heart, his fervor began to wane. It was after he was asked to preside over the funeral of President Lincoln that Brooks took a year's sabbatical traveling in Europe and the Middle East in 1865 and 1866 to try to renew his spirit. In a letter home during Christmas week of 1865, he wrote, "After an early dinner, we took our horses and rode to Bethlehem. It was only about 2 hours when we came to the town, situated on an eastern ridge of a range of hills surrounded by its terraced gardens. It is a good-looking town, better built than any other we have seen in Palestine. Before dark, we rode out of town to the field where they say that the rich shepherds saw the star. It is a fenced-in piece of ground with a cave in it. All the holy places are caves. As we passed by, the shepherds were still keeping watch over their flocks or leading them home to the fold." His spirit forever embraced the sights, sounds, and emotions of his time in Bethlehem, and he was, while meditating at home in Philadelphia over what he had experienced, that this carol took shape in his mind. Once he had written the simple poetic verses, he needed the music that would share in this song's enormous popularity. As the story goes, Mr. Brooks went to his friend, Louis Redner, the organist of Holy Trinity Church, asking him to write the tune to go with his text. Here is one accounting from Mr. Redner of how it came about. As Christmas of 1868 approached, Mr. Brooks told me that he had written a simple little carol for the Christmas Sunday school service, and he asked me to write the tune to it. The simple music was written in great haste and under great pressure. We were to practice it on the following Sunday. Mr. Brooks came in on Friday and said, "Redner, have you ground that music out for O Little Town of Bethlehem?" I replied no, but that he should have it by Sunday. On the Saturday night previous, my brain was well confused about the tune. I thought more about my Sunday school lesson than I did about the music. But I was roused from sleep late in the night, hearing an angel strain whispering in my ear. And seizing a piece of music paper, I jotted down the treble of the tune as we now know it. And on Sunday morning, before going to church, I filled in the harmony. Neither Mr. Brooks nor I ever thought the carol or the music to it would live beyond the Christmas of 1868. In 1892, some 24 years later, its first appearance, Bishop Brooks' carol was given place as a church hymn in the official hymnal of his denomination. One of the quotes that struck me while researching this carol is further evidence for our continual recitation of these and the many other hymns of the Christian faith. Phillips Brooks memorized over 200 hymns as a child, and the language of those hymns learned in childhood and forever ringing in his ears was one of the channels through which he, quote, he had felt the touch of Christ. Do you feel the touch of Christ as you reflect on these words? O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tiding tell. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. I invite you to make these words of invitation your own as you remain seated and we sing this beloved carol together.
Our fourth meditation is around the song Star Child. Star Child was written by Shirley Murray in 1994. Murray was, she was born in New Zealand and grew up Methodist. And she has written many hymns that work in the social concerns of our world, from inclusion and human rights to economic and environmental justice. Star Child brings us many concerns and highlights them for us. And what has stuck with me are verses 2 and 3 especially. Street child, beat child, no place left to go. Hurt child, used child, no one wants to know. Looking at the continuing concerns that we have in this city around homelessness, I can't help but wonder about our street children. And as we near the close of 2014, I think about Relisha Rudd, missing since March of this year. And I wonder if no one wants to know. I think about the many families that still reside in inadequate shelter at DC General, and how there is much work left to be done for those with no place left to go. When I think about our homeless youth in this city, I can't help but notice that among the homeless youth servicing or seeking services in Washington, D.C. and around the country, 40% identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or queer. Nearly half. Hurt child. It is perceived or very likely in many of the cases that these youth end up on the street after coming out and being rejected by their families and still far too often their churches. Our homeless youth are at far greater risk of being abused or put into situations of trafficking. Beat child. Used child. No one wants to know. Verse 3 goes on and says, grown child, old child, memory full of years, sad child, lost child, story told in tears. It makes me wonder about our chronically homeless, those with debilitating injury or illness who have been on the streets for months and often multiple years. We know that many of our unhoused neighbors held careers, have families, and had normal lives before something caused a spiral. And I've heard those stories told in tears. We also know that the life expectancy for a chronically homeless person is about 53 years old, compared to 78 for the rest of the United States population. It rekindles the urgency of the problem, and it makes all the more frustrating because we know there are solutions that work. It is why we continue to advocate. It is why we are meeting with the mayor in January. No more lost children as we enter the new year. As the song closes, it says, let the day arrive when Christmas comes for everyone. Let the day arrive when, like Simeon in our gospel text, we pick up the children beside us and our neighbors and say, thanks be to God for exactly who you are. Let the day arrive when Christmas comes for everyone, everyone alive. As we continue to be seated, let's join together in the black hymnal number 2095, Star Child.
Born in Pineville, Louisiana, of white parents, Robert McKimsey spent most of his formative years in the company of blacks who lived and worked for his parents. Due to their influence, he wrote in an African-American style, and he is quite often mistakenly assumed to be a black composer. According to William Simon, editor of the Reader's Digest Merry Christmas Songbook, Robert McKimsey wrote Sweet Little Jesus Boy after he walked past crowded speakeasies in New York City on Christmas Eve, 1932, after he had attended Midnight Mass. After returning to his one-room apartment that night, he wrote his thoughts on the back of an envelope, lamenting the state of humankind as he had witnessed the vulgarity and drunkenness of those he had just encountered. I can just imagine his humbled spirit as he wrote the words of recognition and acknowledgement found in this psalm, especially our need for forgiveness. The song offers an apology to the Christ child for not recognizing him when he came to this earth. We seem to have missed the whole significance of the birth of Christ the Child. In the mid-1930s, the world was screaming with pain and injustice not unlike our world today. The Nazi regime under Adolf Hitler had come to power. Francisco Franco's right-wing military government was wresting control of Spain in a civil war. Benito Mussolini was justifying Italy's invasion into Ethiopia. The Japanese government was planning their imperialistic invasion into China and Korea. The United States was experiencing its worst depression in history, and racial tensions were at all-time high, with abuse of civil rights and racial inequality rampant. McKimsey penned his song during hard times, and it spoke to hard times. His spiritual grew upon a long-standing African-American Protestant theological tradition that began in slavery, of merging the Christian gospel narrative with black experience of life, death, and transcendence. In McKimsey's spiritual, the reality of the Jesus story was not something in the past, but a present reality. This is why McKimsey ends his song with a call to forgiveness and recognition. As the last verse says, "Sweet little Jesus boy, the world treat you mean, Lord. Treat me mean, too. But please, sir, forgive us, Lord. We didn't know 'twas you."
Thank you.
music at the offertory will be Lalay Alleluia, a lullaby for Jesus. The trio is going to lead us during that time as they make their offering as well. A little background for the song. I was very nervous, and Stanley can attest, that we were at risk of holding Jesus in that state of perpetual cuteness that Pastor Ginger had warned us against. But looking at the basis of the song, the Coventry Carol from 1534, written by Robert Crowe, it speaks of King Herod sending out his men to kill the firstborn male children in the land. And it becomes ever more apparent why a lullaby would be so appropriate. As our trio comes to lead us, you are invited to give as you are able to support the mission and ministry here at Foundry.
Starlight is falling, a baby's.
Holy God, we give thanks for the many gifts you have given us and return this offering. Press your hand upon it that they might be used for kingdom building, so that all we do and all we give glorifies you. Amen. Friends, in the next page of your bulletin, you will find our closing hymn, Jesus, Jesus, Oh, What a Wonderful Child. We're going to sing it at least twice, and if you're doing really well, we're going to sing it a third time. So let's stand and sing together. Once again, our trio for joining us and helping lead us in worship today. And we also want to thank Zidong Zhang. I'm trying so hard. Zidong Zhang, thank you. Thank you for sharing your talent with us this morning. We give thanks for that. Friends, as we prepare to go back out into the world, know that God goes ever before you, and take the strength of the Holy Spirit to help you face down the various Herods of our time, be it racism, violence, revenge, or hatred. Face it down with the strength of the Spirit. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.